Beautiful song. Very well played. Amen?
Amen.
Very well played. If I had that thing in my hand, it'd be just like holding a hunk of pipe. But with someone that knows how to play like that, it made it a beautiful, beautiful song. Well, let me get my glasses on. Beautiful little tune. All I ever want to be is to be used by the Lord. Amen?
All I ever want to be is what you want of me, Lord. I give my life to you and all my hopes and dreams and plans I place within your hands, Lord. And give my life to you. Here am I, Lord, use me. Take my life and mold me. All I ever want to be is what you want of me, Lord. I give my life to you and all my hopes and dreams and plans I place within your hands, Lord, and give my life to you.
Every day you give me grace, I find my strength in you, Lord. I give my life to you, and though it seems that I will fail, through you I will prevail. I give my life to you.
Here am I, Lord, use me. Take my life and mold me. All I ever want to be is what you want of me, Lord. I give my life to you and all my hopes and dreams and plans I place within your hands, Lord. And give my life to you. And all my hopes and dreams and plans I place within your hands, Lord. And give my life to you. And give my life to you.
Amen. Thank you, Maggie. Well, it has been a joy to be here with you today and be with Pastor. I must confess and I must offer an apology. Preacher, there's a tire mark about like this long and about this long in your yard. It's mine. I am so sorry. I'm still learning to drive that big truck and I backed it up and next thing I know I felt a little, And I'm glad it was only the grass. Okay. But it's a two-wheel wonder. Sometimes only one wheel spins. And it spun. So you'll see just a little divot there. It's my thank you note. Saying, for letting me come over and spend some time with you at the house today. Amen. Yes, sir? No, it's a Dodge. Good print. Now, if it had been your house, brother, I would have floored it. But since it was preacher's house, I just kind of tried to get out of it. And I said, I've got to say something. Praise the Lord. Well, amen. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord. And open your Bible, if you will, please, as we continue. We're talking about this guy named Barnabas. I want to dive right in tonight. Acts chapter number 9, verse number 26. Acts chapter 9, verse 26. And as you're turning there, we learned this morning 4 points. 4 points. I pounded 4 points and I brought it back again and I cried through 4 points and I gave you four more, you know, same 4 points, about the Lord Jesus Christ. Can somebody give me what those 4 points, starting with the number one?
Personal.
It was a personal sacrifice. Secondly?
Sacrificial.
Thirdly?
Complete.
Somebody else, please. Complete. That's correct. And then the last one? Am I on? Yeah, okay. It was a humble gift. Amen. He gave a gift. And my friend, hey, when something is asked of you from the Lord, and I think something's being asked recently, preacher's just making you aware of an opportunity for you to be a blessing to the church body. This is your church, is it not? Amen. This is your church. And maybe and God may be asking of you something personal, something that may be sacrificial, something that's going to be complete. And lastly, it's given humbly to help take care of this need that the church has been set before. Is it something that they desired, the church just wanted to do? No, it's something the church had to do. And do your part, church family. Pastor didn't pay me anything on that, so that's a little freebie there. But I love you, preacher. I love his wife, and I love you. It's good to be here again. You're like family to me. You really are. And so I want to give you something tonight that's going to help you as a church. But how I'm going to help the church is to help the individuals in the church. Now, Brother Jim and I had a little talk this afternoon. He's been in ministry, but a bit longer than I have. You know, he's that much older than I am. I mean, I'm not picking on the preacher. You never pick on the preacher at the church. You know, but you can preach on the guest, though. Well, we had a wonderful time this afternoon chatting with these gentlemen, and we talked about different things. Because I just recently came back from Staten Island. I shared that with you. And we knocked on, I don't know how many doors. I know we handed out right at 3,000 flyers, invitations, and then some. We handed them out to people on the street. We handed them out at the door. We knocked on doors. Some folks were home, and we got to talk to them, praise the Lord. Others, we just stuck in the door. You know, I'm a door stucker, amen. Stick that in the door, and I hope they'll read it and pray that somebody shows up, amen. And somebody did call while we were there. Someone did call, say, hey, I got a flyer in my door. And praise the Lord, preacher, it wasn't a complaint. Somebody wanted to get know more about the church, because you never know what happens when you hand out. But to get people to come to church, we had a little discussion about that. How do you get people to come to church? And some of this applies, I'm going to talk to you tonight, with that. Not just getting people to come to church, but how can we keep them coming to church? Won't that be a good thing to know? Okay, we're talking about Barnabas. Who was Barnabas? His name was Joseph. What's in a name? His name was Joseph, but he was given a surname, Barnabas. What does Barnabas mean? It means the consolation, the son of consolation, a comforter, an encourager, a strengthener, a helper. As we're talking about a missionary of helps, a helps missionary into the ministry. And so Barnabas is just, as I shared about Maggie, what Barnabas means to her and what Barnabas means to me is someone that helps to get people like a bus from point A to point B. That's what a Barnabas does. It helps people to get from point A to point B. And so here's Barnabas. He's involved, and he went through all that we talked about this morning. Now, Acts chapter number 9, verse number 26. As we get into this, what has happened before this? I'll tell you what's happened. There's this guy named Saul. Saul was a persecutor of the church. Saul went about to find the Christians in the new church, this new faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then to destroy them. And of one Stephen, he consented to hold the garments of the people that came to stone Stephen because of preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And on the road to Damascus, we know the story that Jesus came to Saul as he was in his chariot by a bright light there in the noonday. And he saw the light, amen? And he fell off the chariot and he said, Lord, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And we know that Paul gets saved. Amen. Paul saw the light. Oh, my friend, let's pray that some folks will see the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a passage of scripture when I preach about the devil. The devil is trying to blind the eyes of those who do not believe from the glorious light of the gospel. So may we be that light. Now remember, Barnabas was just a regular guy. But here's Saul. He was a noted figure. And Saul, who had been persecuting people, now he's saved, now he's up in Damascus, and he's blinded, and the prophet comes, and he lays hands on him, and those little things pop off his eyes. I don't know what they were. It's what it says, as if it was scales. And then we come to this, what happens next. Acts chapter 9, verse number 26. You with me? Say amen. 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 So let's read this. I'll read it aloud. I may stop and ask you to say something as I go along. But I'll read it out loud. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed or desired to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Two words, same with me, but Okay, everybody together now. One, two, three. Barnabas. Now, everybody one time. Ready? Barnabas. There we go. Now we're all on the same page. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Verse 27. But Barnabas. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for tonight. I pray, dear God, that you use this messenger to preach your message, to challenge your people. And this building, dear Lord, that you've given to this pastor to preach the gospel to this neighborhood for this moment. But Lord, guide us, dear Lord. Help us all to be knit together as one. And Lord, help us to let our light shine unto this darkened world. We love you. Lord, we praise you. All of us could be a better Barnabas. Lord, use this message, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So I already gave my introduction. What do I do now? Oh, we get into the story. That's what we're doing. Okay? So here's Saul. Saul, the persecutor of the church. He's now a believer. And now Saul has this desire to meet with the apostles like everybody else. Everybody else, they got saved in these big revival meetings, and Saul got saved on the road to Damascus, and the apostles were down there in Jerusalem. He wanted to go to where they were. He wanted to see what was going on, but more, he needed what they had. And so he now makes his way down. The Bible says he assayed down. He didn't sashay down. Okay? He assayed to go down. He desired to go down to be with them. But, what does the scripture say? What's the scripture? Well, we're back up here again. And Saul was come to Jerusalem. He essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. They were afraid of him. Wouldn't you be afraid of him? I would. He was a persecutor of the church. I'm sure they had one of these billboard signs set up out inside the church. Can you imagine pastor putting on the big screen coming down, and Brother Myers back there has it on the projector screen, has a picture of Saul. And it has a line across him. Don't talk to this man. Life or death. Amen. Don't talk to him. This is Saul. You don't want to be around Saul. You see this man, avoid him like the plague. Avoid him like I don't know, like whatever. We're supposed to love everybody, amen? We're supposed to be kind and loving and trying to reach everybody. But not him, amen? Everybody but that guy. Because he'll come in here and he will destroy us. We can leave Frank standing at the back door or whatnot, but if Saul comes in, it's all over, buddy. It's all over. I got Frank figured out now. Forget about it. I was just in New York. Did I tell you that? Yeah, I did. Amen. You know, they got a sign that when you leave in New York, they got a sign. You know, thank you for leaving New York. Forget about it. Well, thank you for visiting New York. Yeah, it's something like that. But here we have this guy we're not supposed to be around, and we're supposed to be staying away from. And this guy Saul, he's already put several of our believers in jail. And he's already put several of our believers to death. Stay away from, remember what he did to Stephen? Stay away from him. But something happened. He got saved. And so now he's joined himself, he's gone to Jerusalem where the disciples are, and he's sitting at the gate, and he desires to be now with the disciples and the apostles, and he wants to learn, and he wants to grow. Amen for that! You walk up to preach, and say, preacher, you know, I want to grow in the Lord. He'd probably fall over. I want to learn more about Jesus. Can you teach me? Can you show me? Can you have a Bible study with me? Can you help me to grow? And that's not often heard in our churches. But it ought to be. It ought to be. And it doesn't start with them out there. It starts with us in here. It starts with us in here. And so now he's wanting to join the church, but the disciples were afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. He's lying. He's at the gate. He's lying. He's out there in Jerusalem. He's telling people about Jesus, but it's a ploy. He's trying to sneak in. He's trying to come in. He's going to wheeze his way in here. Next thing you know, we're all going to be clang, clang. We're going to be arrested and hauled off. So they said, no way. But the next verse says, But Barnabas. Who tonight with a raise of hand would say, praise the Lord for a Barnabas in your life? None of us deserved anything like that. Nobody deserved just to have a Barnabas in our life. But praise the Lord, there was a Barnabas to help you, that encouraged you, that strengthened you. And Saul needed a Barnabas really bad. Wouldn't you think so? He needed one really bad at this point, but Barnabas. Barnabas came in. Now, I want to give you A, B, C, D, E, 5 points. That's right. 5 points tonight. They come real quick. It's already right here. It's in the Scriptures. We'll just pull it right out. You'll see it. You'll understand it. And we'll make an application, and we'll pray, and we'll fellowship. Don't leave. Stay around. Fellowship is what we do around here, right? We fellowship. So let's see what happened. But Barnabas. Praise the Lord for Barnabas. Here's my point number one. But Barnabas, A, took him. You see, if I were to put a title tonight, it would be Barnabas, a help in Christian-like discipleship. Christian-like discipleship. And so what happened? But Barnabas, you see it there in the Scriptures, verse number 27, but Barnabas, what's the next two words? Took him, comma. So let's stop there for a minute. Barnabas took him, meaning that he found him and he claimed him, dot, 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 discipleship. You can't disciple somebody if you don't claim somebody. You can't start doing things and trying to help somebody if you don't say, I'm going to help that person. So he took him. He claimed him. Now, you just destroyed my whole illustration here. Slide over, Maggie. There you go. What do you think you are, Barnabas? Yeah. You can try. Over here we have a young lady that's come to visit the church tonight. Just pretend. She's brand new. She'd never been here before in her life. See, she's got her head down. She's kind of hiding from everybody. She's probably a little red right now. But she's here visiting, and she's just got kind of involved in what, you know, not kind of doing her own little thing. She come walking in all by herself, and she found her place to sit right here, and she's all by herself. Now, in our typical independent fundamental Baptist churches, this is what happens a lot of times. People just want, praise the Lord for the people coming. Praise the Lord. We shout, praise the Lord for the visitors. We got a visitor today. And she made her way in and she plopped right back there. Up until a few moments ago, she was sitting by herself. And she's still sitting by herself. And she's kind of minding her own business. Hey, we got a visitor over there. Isn't that nice? Preacher preaches a message and he preaches probably right at her. Because we got somebody else to preach at. Amen. Get tired of preaching at you guys. Don't preach at her. Not this preacher. We need to preach to the body of Christ. And to the lost souls too. By giving the gospel. So she has made her way in and she doesn't know anybody. So she plopped herself down. And in the typical Baptist church, at the end of the service, she'll get herself up. She'll walk her way out. And she'll walk out the door. All right? Isn't that right? That's typical. Maybe she'll get her hand shook by the pastor. Maybe. But here a Barnabas kicks in. But a Barnabas. Now we can pretend Maggie over here on the other, you know, she's over there. Maybe we know Maggie. Maggie used to roam the streets all the time screaming her head off. Maybe she walked around with a cowbell, ringing a cowbell all day long. Don't go around here. Sure, she's weird. And weird Maggie is in our service. So nobody talked to her. But a Barnabas comes over and says, I'm going to claim her today. I'm going to claim her today. And so what does he do? He says, but Barnabas took him. Barnabas claims him. Barnabas says he's going to be the one that I'm going to talk to. Here's a guy that's at the gate. Here's a guy that says he's born again. Here's a guy that desires to do something with the Lord. He's come. He's here. Somebody's got to go talk to him. Nobody else says, but Barnabas, hi, how you doing? My name's Tim. Hi, Maggie. Good to see you tonight. Glad to have you. And so what have I done? I've introduced myself. I've just made myself a discipler, and she's now going to be discipled. Now, what have I done? Have I had a Bible study with her yet? Have I even prayed with her yet? Have I done anything? But I've already made a contact. I'm already discipling her. She's now seeing me as part of the church, in the church body. First impressions mean a lot, don't they? Now, Saul got to church and he said, nobody wanted him, huh? Oh, boy, nobody wants me. But a Barnabas said, how do you do? Can you say how do you do? It's not that hard, is it? Everybody can say how do you do. So that's the beginning of discipleship. We find that there was a guy that came, everybody said stay away from, but Barnabas took him. He found him. He claimed him, and thus begins discipleship. Next we see, just the very next phrase, but Barnabas took him and, what's the next two words? And brought him to the disciples. He brought him. In other words, he befriended him. He showed him, friendship. Friendship. So now I'm making, meet Maggie over here. Not only did I claim her, now I'm going to show her. Hey, Maggie, you ever been here before? Of course, I know she hadn't been here before. No, you haven't been here. First time? Well, I've been coming to church here a long time, Maggie. Can I show you around a little bit? I know how ladies can be sometimes. I'm sure the one most important room that you need to find in this place. The nursery. No, not yet, sister. No way. Not yet. But yes, the restroom. The restroom. And so, and again, I mean, it'd be good to have somebody show her around, to show her where things are. Now, we meet up here in the auditorium, and we go downstairs, and this is where we have fellowships all the time, and take them around, and even swing by pastor's office, knock on the door. Hey, pastor. This is our pastor. I'm showing her. I'm trying to make her feel comfortable. I'm trying to make her feel at home. Now, we talked a little bit about this morning. There are some folks that they're looking for that. They're more than not. They're looking for someone to say, will you recognize me today? And nobody shook my hand. Yes, there are some. Brother Jim and I talked about, there are some that don't want that. There are some that just say, I'm just leave me alone. I don't want that right now. And you've got to kind of fill that out, but we're not going to dwell on that part. We're going to dwell on the part that Maggie's looking for someone. And so I introduced myself to her. I have now to start a discipleship with her by introducing, and now secondly, I brought her. And what did he bring? Saul? He brought Saul to the disciples. It'd be like me saying, hey Maggie, come with me. I want to introduce you to somebody. Come on, I'll introduce you to somebody. See this guy right here? Don't talk to him. This is our pastor, Pastor Art Gilmore. This is wife, Mrs. Gilmore. This is Maggie. She's come today, and I've chatted a little bit with Maggie, and we're just glad she's here today.
Amen.
Amen.
Hi, Maggie. Good to see you today. Glad you came.
Hey, they read the script. Amen. Go have a seat, Maggie. They read the script. Now, I'm trying to make this fun because it is fun, but if we can just apply even these two principles, have we come a long distance already? We have. I've moved her. She's in the middle now. And she's smiling. And so he took him, Barnabas took Saul, found him, claimed him, discipleship, number two, brought him, in other words, he befriended him and showed him, fellowship. And then what's the next? He says here in verse number 26, and brought him to the disciples and, what's the next word? Declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way. He declared him. He declared him. I put this as a little definition. He testified for him. Gave him credibility. Kinship. Kinship. Now I'm beyond meeting the pastor. Now I'm carrying her around. I'm carrying her around and said, yes, let's meet this guy right here. And let's meet this young lady here. This is their family. What's that? I know. You know, I'm just trying to be funny. Trying to make you feel comfortable in the church. Amen. Hey man, and watch, hey, come over here. Hey, I want you to meet a very cool piano player. Come on over. She played us the Dynamite Special this morning, didn't she?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Here's our piano player. And her husband taught her everything she knows. Amen. Amen. This is my friend Maggie, and she's come today, and she we talked a little bit. Now I'm just developing a friend. She had no place else to go. She used to be the one that rang the bell. Remember her? Yeah, that's Maggie. But she's come to be here with us today. Isn't that nice? Yeah. What am I doing? I'm giving Maggie credibility. Thank you, Maggie. I'm taking around showing her to my friends, whereas you might not have walked up to her before because you didn't quite get the chance to know her yet, but I did. So now I'm walking her around and getting her introduced to the folks in the church. What am I doing? I'm giving her credibility through my name. You think the apostles would have let Saul come up to the upper room with them without a Barnabas? Absolutely not. They already said they feared and not, but a Barnabas. Barnabas took him and got a hold of him, and here comes Barnabas holding on to Saul. Come on, Saul, we're going to go meet the apostles. And because of Barnabas' name, because of Barnabas' fellowship, because of Barnabas being a Barnabas, helping to get people from point A to point B, they received him. He gave him credibility. And so Maggie now is slowly meeting folks at the church, and still her first vision, but she may not remember anybody's name, but just like the piano player and her husband did, and just like the pastor and his wife did, they all smile and say, glad to have you here today. Because of credibility. Credibility. And so let's go to point, and he's going pretty quick, and we're going to bring this, you know, I'm not going to be too long tonight, so I'm going to try not to, but I'm going to bring this to a great point at the end. He took him, he brought him, he declared him, and then fourthly, he spoke to him. The Bible says. He said, he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him. He spoke to him. He told me. And then also how the Lord had spoke to him. The Lord had spoken to Saul. Hey, apostles, look, the Lord had spoken to him. And showed him all these wonderful things. And how he was kicking against the pricks. And how he was persecuting the Savior. And how he was going against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Saul said, Lord, what shall I do? How would Barnabas know that? If he had not asked the questions. If he had not spent time to listen. To listen. And so he spoke to him. He listened to him, which builds a relationship. So Barnabas is now making a connection. Brother Jim and I were talking this afternoon about, you know, we just got to build a relationship with people. I don't know how many hundred doors I've locked on, a couple hundred doors that I knocked on. I probably had 25 to 50 people said, I'm going to be in church with you on Sunday when we were over in Staten Island. Some of the other folks that were out too, and they had people tell them, we're going to be there, you can count on us. Besides our group, and the group that the pastor there was already discipling, guess how many visitors we had? And a great recommendation, start building a relationship with them. Start talking with them a little bit more. Kind of connect with people just a little bit more. Let them kind of understand who you are and where you're coming from and what you're trying to do and how they can be a blessing to you. And if you take that extra moment, that extra 45 minutes, if that's what it takes, to get to really know somebody and befriend somebody, to get them to church, but not only that, but to get to know someone that's already here. To listen. It's not about you. It's all about Him. And God's letting you to be a vessel to now hear from them, to now share with them what He has for them. You see how that works? See, Barnabas was just a regular guy. Barnabas was just a regular man that God had used to help meet a need in the church. He saw the need and Barnabas said, I've got to do it. It's there as clear as can be. I mean, so he took care of it. He took care of the need of the great offering that was needed. Also, secondly, now he sees there's a need of this one guy, this one man. Barnabas was always concerned about the one. The one. Whereas nobody wanted Saul, Barnabas did. Barnabas took him, discipleship, brought him, fellowship, declared him, kinship, spoke to him, relationship, and fifth, we find they sent him. They sent him. It says in verse 29, and let's go back, let's read verse 27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the disciples and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of the Lord. And he was with them coming in and going out of Jerusalem, verse 29. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord. Saul spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. So the slayer is now being sought to be slain. Which, when the brethren knew, Who's the brethren? The apostles, the disciples. When they knew, he says, and when they knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were what? Multiplied. They were multiplied. I put here that they when they sent him, they partnershiped with him. They sent him, partnership. They said, Saul, there's some things about you. You're putting great fear in the people's minds being here. But we want you to grow in the Lord. We want you to be what God wants you to be. Amen. But we've got to send you back to Tarsus. We'll partner with you. We're going to help you. We're not going to lose you. We're going to befriend you. But we're going to send you back to Tarsus. Later we find that Barnabas needs Saul and calls him back, but calls him over to Antioch. But my friend, if Barnabas did not start this process of discipleship in an individual that walked in to where the church was, where would he be? Where would Maggie be? In this pretend role mind. Because people walk in, they sit down, they hear the message, they get back up, they walk back out the door. Are they more or less likely to come back? But if they come in and they sit down and someone greets them and talks to them, and if they are willing to walk around and meet some folks, you can introduce them, talk to them a little bit, find out who they are, what they do, and then start showing them around and showing them to the pastor and showing them to the others and get to know them a little better, make a connection with them, make a kinship with them, and then declare to your friends and give them some credibility. And now she's sitting down, but she's not by herself anymore. This little young lady says, I like her. I'm going to make her be my friend. And so she's not alone anymore. She now has someone to sit by her. And then she gets up and everybody shakes her hand. Maggie, so glad you came today. Hey, Maggie, praise the Lord. Glad you came today. Maggie, hope to see you again next week. Hey, Maggie, this is wonderful. Praise the Lord. God bless and glad that you came today. And who's to say that? What if Maggie was lost? Would she feel more comfortable about getting saved? See how this applies? You see, Barnabas was concerned about the one. He did some great many things, but he was concerned about reaching the one. Each of us can be friendly. Each of us can claim somebody. Each of us can do this thing. Did I have a very intense Bible study with Maggie yet? No, but I've already started discipling her by encouraging her with what I have at the moment to encourage her to follow the Lord. So glad you're here. Love to have you come back. You see, Barnabas was a help in Christian-like discipleship. And my friend, you can be a Barnabas, and I can be a Barnabas, and we can apply these things to our life. If we were to continue, we'd find that Barnabas was also a help in congregational strengthening. We find that there was a revival going on, Acts chapter 11, verse 20, down to verse number 26. There was a revival going on up in Antioch, and the apostles had to find out what was going on. So guess who they sent? A Barnabas. So Barnabas went up. He was sent by them, and his disciples sent him. Barnabas was deeply satisfied with what he saw. He was glad, and they demanded spiritual living of him, that they ought to separate themselves. But yet they saw the Holy Ghost working upon Saul, on Barnabas himself, and God blessed the church. And God will bless you. And God will bless your church. And what this dying world needs to see is someone that cares about the one. The one. Barnabas went up there to see. We see next that he was a help in congregational leadership. Acts 13, verse 1, 2, and 3. Now Barnabas is the pastor of the church. He's now one of the key teachers at the church. Is that what he desired? Because what God moved him to. He was sent by the disciples on a mission to go see what's going on. And up there he helped. But not only that, we find that he needs some help himself. So who does he go get? Saul. He goes against the one that he worked with. Hey, can I tell you something? Maggie might become my best helper one day. She is already now. But again, she may become my best helper. She may become my best worker. You know what? She, as Saul and Barnabas, the next thing that they did, not only did they
Did he do a church strengthening, but also he became part of church planting. Church planting. It's quite a read up there, chapter 13 on to chapter number 15, where now Saul and Barnabas are sent of the Lord as missionaries to go out and to seek churches, and they preach, and people are saved, churches are started, they confirm pastors, they ordain pastors, and they're growing in the Lord, but something happens here, switches. It's no longer Saul and Barnabas, Saul's name is changed to Paul. And so if instead of it being Barnabas and Saul, it's now Paul and Barnabas. What happened? Paul now took the lead. Paul now became the primary. Now, I am using Maggie, but Maggie could be a better Christian than me. Maggie could grow and do greater things than me. Maggie could develop something very special for the church. How would we know if it weren't for a Barnabas being concerned about the one? About the one. Now, I want to bring you to my last point. Barnabas was a help in constructive restoration. Acts 15, verse 36. We're closing it down. Barnabas. Barnabas. He was concerned about the one. He was concerned about going out and reaching one individual at a time, one person, one precious soul, one individual, one possible future leader of the church. But he didn't know that. Just like we don't know that when we start bringing the bus kids in, bringing them in a van. Can I tell you something? I was a bus kid. I rode the bus. I had a snotty nose. I had long hair down the middle of my back. This is back in the 70s. I even parted it in the middle. I was cool. I was learning to play the piano, Pastor, back then. And I was young. I was 10 years old. I was young. And my piano teacher, because I had my bangs hanging right over my nose. She said, "You can't play the piano. You can't see the notes." "Oh, I can see the notes." She said, "You can't see the notes." So she took bobby pins. And she would bobby pin my hair back. So one day she had it enough. She said, "Can I trim them just a little bit so you can see?" "I don't know." "Oh, come on, let me trim it so you can receive the music better and be able to play better." "Okay." So into the other room we went. I sat down. She put a thing around my neck. She took the scissors, and I can't see what's going on. She went snip, and I heard her go, "Oh." When she was done, I had to go to the barber shop, and it was my first fundamental haircut. Amen. But I tell you what, Mama wasn't happy. Mama gave her more than a piece of her mind. Well, that's a long story. But here we find a help in constructive restoration. Praise the Lord for a Barnabas in my life who loved me. Who loved me to take care of and help me, encourage me. But sometimes we find folks that have faltered and fallen. There may be somebody like Maggie that's come in, and Maggie may just, you know, be brand new. We don't know her like a Saul, and we may, no, I'm not going to take care of her. But she comes in, and a Barnabas takes care of her because he's concerned about the one. But what about the one beside her? This one here grew up in church. This one here was involved in church. This one here had great opportunity. This one here had everything going for her. But in time she fell, having rather chosen the things of this present world. And that was a John Mark. John Mark, the scriptures came and said, the Bible tells us that he joined with them, went on the mission trip, but he came off. Let's read this and we'll close out. Acts chapter 15, verse 36. "And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, 'Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do.'" Let's go back and just go back and do it again, Barnabas. And verse 37, "And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark," John Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. Barnabas gave John Mark another opportunity, where Paul said, no, thank you. It's amazing how the people said, no, thank you to Paul. But a Barnabas took him. And now Paul is saying, no, thank you. But Barnabas stayed with it and stayed on it and worked with John Mark. Two passages, Colossians 4:10. Colossians 4:10 and then 2 Timothy 4:11. Colossians 4:10 says this. Colossians chapter 10. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Colossians. Somewhere in there. Paul has had a long ministry. Paul's had a full life. Paul's done some very wonderful things. Paul was stoned. Paul was shipwrecked. Paul was left for dead. But he started many churches. People say that he was probably one of the greatest Christians ever, the greatest church planner ever. And the case may be, I'm not here to dispute any of that. But I do know that Paul is now in prison. He's now in the Roman prison. He's not getting out. His friends aren't coming to visit him like they used to. But I want you to see what he's writing near the end of his ministry in prison. He says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. And Marcus, sister son to Barnabas. Who's there with him? Barnabas is now with him. John Mark. John Mark is now with him. We don't have any other word of Barnabas. After that contention, that separation, we don't see any more of Barnabas, but we do see John Mark. We do see John Mark. What happened to Barnabas? I don't know. He's maybe ministering still in Cyprus, or maybe he died. But he was concerned about the one, and the one carried on. The one carried on, Marcus, sister son to Barnabas, touching whom ye received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. Receive Marcus. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who out of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God, which have been a what? Who's a comfort now? The one we're pointing at is John Mark. John Mark. Now Mark is helping and serving. Now he's named as a fellow worker. Now he's a great comforter, a great consolation, just like a Barnabas. 2 Timothy 4:11. 2 Timothy 4:11. The last we hear of this effect of Barnabas is that Paul is now thinking that he's at the end. He probably heard word that soon his life would be taken from him. Historians tell us that it was. As he writes now in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, he says, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. He's now profitable. He's now profitable. This young lady had gone off into sin and into the world, and she came back to the church. I pray there'd be a Barnabas to say, I'll work with you. I'll work with you and I'd help you. I want to be a blessing and encouragement to her. I want to help and strengthen her and to help restore. We are in the restoration business, aren't we? Aren't we? Souls being redeemed, brought back by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and discipled and grow in the Lord. But what about the wayward ones? Oh, we need to work with them too. And encourage them too. And strengthen them too. Oh, my friend, we need to take people. We need to unify with people. We need to get to go with the people. We need to build a relationship with the people. We need to connect with that kinship with the people and bring them into the family of the church as we all grow together in the house of the Lord. And as we grow together, that just means we're able to do more and able to reach more people. As one Barnabas is now training another Barnabas. He wasn't a good help before, but he's now profitable unto me and to the ministry. And so can you. And so can you. So why don't you be a Barnabas and help people get from point A to point B? Who are you helping to get from point A to point B? Who's going to be looking next week to help people get from point A to point B. With our heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, Pastor, thank you for inviting me to come. It's been an honor. And I'd do it again if you called.